Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome back to this episode of Gaining Perspective. We had a few technical difficulties, and here we are trying to start all over again. So let me do a quick recap of who I'm talking to today and what we're talking about. I have Lori Leinwand, who is the founder of Actions, Ideas to Actions, and she helps women move through the trans phases. Listen to me, I can't even talk anymore today. Lori helps women move through transitional phases in their lives triumphantly. She specializes in inspiring and empowering moms to rediscover who they are so they can successfully build their best lives outside of parenting. So what we were talking about today is making friends with change, the change you cultivate, how it opens the doors to creating your best life, how you could befriend it, how you could plan for it, and how you could savor the experience. So if you're tuning back in, feel free to give us a call at 646-716-9397, and hopefully we will not have any technical difficulties after 9 minutes of our show. So we were talking about effort, energy, and an incredible persistence, the three main areas that people need to have in order to create change. One of the things that we have been discussing is how you have to want to have it. And the energy is being able to put forth and know that this is going to take the time that it needs in order to happen. And the persistence is not getting disappointed, overcoming the struggle sometimes. And there are other so many factors. And Lori, why don't you kind of recap those three things that you had talked about, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay. So the effort, as you said, is the willingness, the having to really want it and be ready to work for it, because there are going to be those moments where progress slows down. Maybe there's a little bit of disappointment along the way, and you have to be ready to put forth the effort to overcome those barriers to your success or your creation of change. The energy is that capacity that you need to create the new grooves that I was talking about. You know, our habits take a while to form over time, and if we want to create change in our lives and maybe change our own behavioral patterns, we're going to have to put forth a fair amount of energy in making that happen. So that's why energy is required. And the incredible persistence is important because we need to have follow-through. I mean, very often, how often do you hear about people who are enacting a change in their lives and they're sort of nearing that finish line and then they start to slow down or they start to step back? And you need to have that willingness, that persistence within yourself to really see it through all the way to the end. So that's what the persistence is for.
Great. Thank you so much. And one of the other things that we had been talking about is through these habits that people form, and sometimes when you see it, they're bored of this, but they don't recognize it as boredom. They think of it more as, I'm complacent, and this is just how my life is going to be. So
Right. Why
don't you kind of recap some of that as we started getting into that conversation,
Right. How
to transition people from knowing complacency is truly boredom.
Yeah. Well, and oftentimes people will come to me and say, I want to make a change, but I'm not really sure, and things are kind of okay, but what we'll tend to do is we'll tap on the way, we'll challenge the way that they're describing a situation. So, for example, if somebody says to me, this is how it is, I can't change it, I kind of need to just accept it the way it is, We challenge that, and sometimes we just tap on that notion, and sometimes we really need to take a sledgehammer to it, because very often there are things within our power, within our own jurisdiction, that maybe we don't recognize or we don't realize simply because we haven't stepped into that power. So I'm trying to think of an example. Very often people will say to me, I can't do what it is that I really want to do because my kids' schedules are so nutty. And that very often is the case where, they have trouble getting their own things done, meeting their own objectives because they're running their kids around. But when we look at, have they tried to set up carpools? Have they sought out help? Have they thought about whether or not it might be okay if their child missed a certain activity that maybe wasn't quite so important, so they could go to an important meeting or attend a class that they've really been meaning to attend? They might find that those things are actually possible when they take a closer look, or they really challenge the original notion, which is, I can't because of my children's schedules. And the truth is that when they say something like that, they're putting power in other people's hands. You know, they're blaming this other thing rather than taking charge and taking responsibility for the choices that they make. Does that make sense?
You have made so much sense, and you touched upon something that to me is so critical in people's lives, giving power to other things instead of taking the power. You know, I often ask people, and you know, maybe you can give some insight on this, when you put your children ahead of you every single time and always do for them and put yourself aside, you know, what is the example that you're setting? And now I know I might upset some people by saying that, of saying put yourself first before your kids. You know, it's kind of a sensitive thing to say, but or insensitive. But the truth is you need to set an example for them. You know, how well of a parent can you be to your children if they always feel that they come first? You know, what is that saying to them?
I will, and I am right in line with you there. I used to be... Well, I shouldn't say this. Well, I used to be the kind of parent who definitely put their children first, and I still do, obviously, to a large extent now. However, I've also decided to make conscious choices on my own behalf, and I do think I'm modeling healthy behaviors for them in doing that, because they see that it's important for us to take care of ourselves. They see that as adults, we don't then give ourselves over to the next generation, that it's still important for us to maintain our own happiness and be responsible for it, just as they will need to do when they become adults and they become parents. And it also gives them an opportunity to begin to take responsibility for their own choices and their own happiness. So we're modeling all the time. And you're right. I think you started to say that if we don't take care of ourselves to begin with, what good are we going to be to them in the end, right? So if I'm running ragged, you know, getting my kids to all of their activities and taking care of them and cooking for them and cleaning for them and never tending to myself, you know, at some point I'm planting the seeds of resentment, right? I might end up blaming them for not being happy myself, which of course is not a good thing and not going to impact my parenting in a positive way. And, you know, I might get sick, I might be super tired, and then you find yourself going through the motions. So that's not good. Whereas if I take some time to pursue my own objectives and take care of my own needs, I can be much more present when I'm with them and really listen to them when they talk to me and really hear what it is they're saying. And they see that and they know that. And I think it's also really cool when we can sit down at the dinner table and I can share with them, you know, maybe what I'm doing in my professional life or, you know, even in my personal life. Hey, I saw this friend of mine today. And it's nice for them to hear that rather than, hey, you know, what'd you do today, Mom? Well, you know, I went and I bought you clothes and I cooked dinner. You know, that's not exciting for them to hear. They want to hear that we have full lives so that they feel confident and comfortable doing the same thing for themselves eventually.
It's such a great point that you were making there. And there's something that makes me start thinking in the head of someone who is a parent starts saying, do you know what it's going to take to get my kid to see that me putting myself first is more important? How am I going to handle the bratty behavior and without having to be defensive to my own child, explaining that I need a life too? Like, you can't say that to your own child. I need a life too. It's not all about you. So
no.
There's that transition. Part of that change is learning to transition it in a way that is non-confrontational, not being defensive, how to maintain the parent-child relationship as well as that friendship. So how do you address that with some parents who may be hesitant to work in this change because of that fear?
That is a great question. And the way you described it, it sounds very, very black and white, like where you go from a certain way of life to this new way of life, you know, in a moment's time. But the truth is you would slowly begin to make these gradual changes. So you might, you know, talk to your children and say, look, you know, I'm going to start taking some classes at the local college. And so as a result, there are going to be some schedule changes that affect our whole household. And you kind of make it this family endeavor. And you say, so, you know, I might not be able to take you to hockey every Tuesday and Thursday. I say that because I have two children who play hockey, and that it takes up a lot of time. And so so-and-so's mom might be taking you on those days, but I'll be driving home from practice on those days. You know, and you talk about the compromises that are involved. And I think as a parent, you would also give your children the opportunity to comment on those changes and what they believe the impact might be on them. And you hear that, but that's all part of the process of creating that space for change that I talk about in the book, that there needs to sort of be this preparation phase where you kind of imagine what the impact will be on you, but also those in your world, what the positive reactions will be, and also what that resistance might be, so that you can address it effectively.
I appreciate everything that you just said there, because the way that you said in all areas of your life, because we're right now we're talking a lot between parents and children, but the same thing happens with interpersonal relationships, whether it be a spouse, a significant other, or anything in that area of friendships too, when you think about
Absolutely. When
you're making change. And Absolutely. So I don't want people to focus completely on that we're just talking about the family life. Change affects everybody around you.
Right.
And as individuals, we have to be willing to be open to understanding the causes and the effects that our choices are having on others, but at the same time, talking about it, acknowledging it, accepting it, and moving forward with it. Do you agree?
Yeah, definitely. And you're right. It can impact any kind of relationship. So say you're a member of a book club and now you're taking on a new project that prevents you from getting to your book club meeting. And so you have some friends in your book club, and you know what you would do is you would explain to them, look, I have this thing that's important to me that I'd like to try out. I'm going to miss the next few meetings. I hope you'll support me in what I'm trying to do, and you let them know. And of course, you know, they might be bummed. They're not going to see you. They're not going to have your input on the discussions of the books, but you've laid the groundwork. You've said to them, this is something that important that I'm trying, and this is where I'm going to be spending my time right now. So also creating awareness around you of what to expect, you know, so that others can know, can be really helpful. But yeah, change is impactful. It doesn't just affect us. It does. There is a trickle effect, you know, a trickle-down effect that affects the other people in our world, and we have to be cognizant of that.
You're absolutely right. You know, I always talk about the trickle-down effect. I've said in my past of my lives of where I've worked and decisions that people make and how people react to them versus, you know, just taking it in and absorbing it before, you know, speaking before they think about what it truly is. Now, with all of this that we think about, you know, we might have just put some trepidation for some people out there to start thinking about change because we're talking in a certain way of some of the challenges. But
yeah.
I truly believe that there are people that when they're excited about a new journey in their life or something that maybe they don't see it as change, they get really excited about it and they don't see it as change, versus those who everything is about change, you know, using a different car or having to cross the street in a different area is something that's significantly changed.
Yeah.
What do you see as the common differences between those who live for change and those who either maybe struggle, resist it, or just completely avoid it?
You know, it's funny. I think it has to do with how you view that word change. I mean, some people see it as a positive thing. And some people kind of see it as a dirty word. You know, some people associate a lot of negativity with change, and some are excited by it, as you said. So for some, change might represent adventure or advancement or expansion or, you know, newness. And for some, it's about, oh my gosh, I need to change, you know, alter the way I do things. I'm really comfortable in my current patterns. I might have to learn something new. you know, it's about making adjustments that they might not want to make. So it's funny how some people see change as this very welcome thing and some see it almost as a punishment. So it has to do with your mindset, I think.
And depending really on what it is, it's true. You know, you never know how you think you want something, but when it comes time for it, the mindset is more in that fear-based area of it all as opposed to the excitement. You know,
yeah.
How often do you see that how often do you more hear that, well, that's easier said than done. You know, of course I want to be able to do it, but change is just not that simple. And there's also probably variations between the three different areas. So what do you say to someone, and how do you bring them through those fears?
Yeah, I do hear it all the time. And what we end up doing is acknowledging that, yes, it is often much easier said than done. It's the doing that's the hard part. But we'll try and break it down into, you know, manageable bite-sized pieces so that the entire process is not quite so daunting. We'll say, see, because that's sort of a dismissal, that statement, that's easier said than done. You can kind of hear them shutting down when they say something like that. So chances are they are bolstered in that way of thinking by excuses or procrastination or that blaming that we talked about before. So those are the things that we're going to begin to examine. So, for example, one of the things I might have a client do is write down all of the obstacles that they see in connection with the change that they want to make happen in their lives. So we'll kind of go through them. And I tell them, you know, don't censor yourself. So they're, you know, happily writing down this long list. But then as we go through each one of the things on their list, we'll begin to challenge them. And I'll say, is that accurate? Is that something you might be able to test? And as we go through that, they end up crossing quite a few things off that list. And what we end up saying is they cross off the excuses and the true obstacles are left behind. Now, sometimes it's very often this way of thinking that keeps people from pursuing what it is they want. It might be a story, that they've kept with them from their childhoods. This sense that it could have to do with anything. It might have to do with their birth order. Well, I'm not the standout among my siblings, so for me to step into the limelight in this respect would be really unnerving for everyone in my world, including myself. I don't see myself in that way. So, you know, that thought process alone we might challenge, you know, and that might be tied into that whole way of thinking that's easier said than done. So there's lots of pieces to it, but a lot of it is about how we think.
Mm. And one of the things I'm thinking about is when we talk about how people think, you know, that I don't want to embarrass myself. The procrastination. They don't want the judgment. They don't think that they're worth it. You know, the little things, the little voice in their head that is their little devil on their shoulder, let's say. I guess that's probably one of the strongest challenges you work through with people, and understanding that there are changes for them.
Yeah, it really is about owning the responsibility to create your own happiness or your own fulfillment. You know, the whole reason why I wrote the chapter about change was, you know, we often learn and then end up teaching the things that we need to learn the most. And I was actually someone who resisted change for a long time. I liked knowing what to expect and when to expect it. You know, I really liked having structure. And the things that I associated with change were fear and failure, and as you said, embarrassment. I didn't want to make a fool of myself. So I thought about it some more, and I was also paying attention to what some celebrities were doing in the news. I mean, you hear all the time about, you know, big name people making incredible fools of themselves publicly, right? It happens pretty much on a daily basis. And then what happens? We forget. We move on. And the truth is, I'm not a celebrity. I'm not someone on everybody's minds. if I fall down, you know, while presenting to a big group of people, yeah, they're going to laugh, and maybe they'll mention it to a friend later in the day, but if I think for one moment they're going to think about it the next day, I'm mistaken. And so in thinking about that kind of thing, I realize I could be afraid all I want, and I might fail, and I might embarrass myself, but none of those things are ultimately going to destroy me. So all I have to do is choose to move through those moments, understand that some of that is going to be just a part of the experience, and then move on and grow and give myself the opportunity to do that.
I think that is incredible, because I do relate to that whole thing of that fear, making changes, going from being an employee somewhere to being the entrepreneur. And if you fail, you know, what happens? And I had made that decision to say, you know what, I would rather look back 10 years from now and say, I gave it my all and I failed miserably, versus, yeah, I wonder what would have happened. You know, people may say, oh, remember when you tried to go out on your own? I'd be like, yeah, remember when you haven't tried to do anything but what you do? It's kind of like just giving yourself that chance. And no matter what, you're going to learn something truly amazing from it. And there's so much that I have learned over the past, what month are we in, November? So the past 11 months, I've learned so much about myself,
mm-hmm,
and the way change plays into that, the things that I struggle with, the things that I resist, or the things that I jump headfirst into and say, let's go for a ride on. And,
right,
you know, just learning to say, screw the fear, screw what other people think, because everything that I'm doing is for me. It's not for anybody else. You know, those,
right,
who are my loved ones in life, they're there to support me. They're there to help me when I start struggling through something. And even if there's an area that they may disagree with, it becomes an open conversation. The judgment,
mm-hmm,
is gone. Like, I just don't judge myself for anything. And if I do fall down the stairs, well, at least I can say, remember when? That was just so funny. I'm so glad I did that. Yeah, I find,
right,
that it's just, I don't know. I've learned to be grateful for those types of experiences. And, you know, am I making a wrong assumption that those who you work with also end up feeling thankful for those moments?
I think they do, because you're right. It eliminates the what if, the what if that you would have if you had to imagine what it would have been like if you had tried. You get to move past that and say, I did it. I may have not done it perfectly, but I tried and I did it. And that's part of what impelled my own change process is, you mentioned the word legacy before. Love that word. And I thought about, you know, what kind of legacy am I leading? You know, I kind of felt like I was humming along. Everything was fine. But then fine wasn't good enough. There were still so many things that I wanted to do, and I thought to myself, well, what am I waiting for? You know, there's no perfect time to do the things that you want to do, and there are no perfect set of circumstances. So truly, if we want to try something new, now is the perfect time. So there were so many things that I, you know, sort of had in the back of my head, and I don't even know that I had really given them their fair due in terms of thinking, you know, what it is that I wanted to do with my life. But I thought, I need to start exploring this now. And I also did, you know, as a parent, wanted my kids to see me exploring those things. I didn't want them to think, you know, your life is over at 40. You know, I wanted them to see that at any age, you could begin to do something new, explore something new, try things, maybe fall on your face, but you'd be living. And so that was really an important part of my being able to embrace change in that way. You know, I began to see it less as something to fear and more almost as a safety net. So now when I'm feeling that things aren't quite right, or maybe I am a little bored, or I'm feeling a little dissatisfied, I go right to, okay, what's working? Let's keep those things in place. And what's not working quite so well, and what can I do to change those things?
A lot of the stuff we're talking about is like very methodical, and one of the things that I see happens quite a bit when change occurs is emotions. And I think emotions play a huge role. And can you share with us some of, through your experience, the various emotions that cause people to change and those, how those emotions actually change during their change process?
Okay. Well, it was funny. I was speaking to a group last night, and I asked them what emotions they associated with change, and everybody said anxiety. So everybody felt anxious in connection with change. But the truth is I've also heard people say sadness, a sense of loss, right? Because if you're changing things, you're letting go of the way you've always known them to be. And sometimes there's real loss associated with that. Fear, obviously, is a big one. And sometimes there's shame and embarrassment, and that can work either way. That can be used to cause people to seek out change because maybe they feel ashamed that they haven't tried hard enough to do something in their lives. The embarrassment might also work to do that, or it might be, you know, I'm going to play small because I don't want to put myself in an arena where I might be embarrassed. And along with that, in connection with that, is a sense of vulnerability. Sometimes people are afraid that they'll be, if they're trying something new, that they might be exposed. You know, maybe they don't have the skills they originally thought, or maybe they're not as adept at something that they thought they might be. And so they don't want to find that out themselves, and they certainly don't want other people to know about that. So that's often another reason why people will defer to what they know rather than step into something new and possibly challenging. But what happens is as people begin to embrace change and take, you know, even the smallest steps and create the tiniest shifts for themselves, you can see them begin to open up. You can see them become proud of themselves and, you know, the power within them begin to blossom because they're realizing that there's this sense of I can rather than the immediate thought I can't. And then as you see that emerge in people, you watch them try new things because, you know, they're now open to possibility in general. It's really pretty cool.
Yeah, it also makes me think about the language people use, how they actually change the language they use when talking about different aspects of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so, you know, when they start questioning other people for their decisions, they'll actually start trying to help them with it. Have you ever noticed that?
Well, what do you mean? Where they might have gone through a change themselves and then they'll offer their own experiences? Or are you referring to something else?
Almost that in the same way. Like when they get overcome that anxiety and when they start seeing that change is not as bad as it was and the language that they start changing in their head with themselves, that they start, instead of saying, I'm not sure, I can't be vulnerable, and when they start learning to open themselves up to that and how they now use that same language that they've learned to use with themselves when they hear other people talk the way they used to.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Yes, they begin to see that, and they recognize themselves and other people, but they're able to distinguish the difference now. They see that they're, maybe there's more of a sense of optimism around them, or they just kind of know, they can recognize those self-defeating thoughts or those limiting beliefs in other people because they've gotten them in check within themselves. Absolutely.
Yeah, and then what's the first thing that you hear from someone? You've changed.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's often the response that people say or give to people when they see people emerging from that place of playing small. And when they say it, it's funny because you don't always know if they're being complimentary or not because it's almost disarming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's
just
light now within you. What's going on? But it serves as an incredible example to the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
And like
absolutely.
I said, change isn't always, it may not always be for the best, but no matter what, it's going to lead to some growth. You know, I talk to people a lot about the fear of making mistakes that they have, you know, when they're engaging in a change process. And we talk about how it would be a mistake not to make mistakes because those are such rich opportunities for learning. And then we think about it in terms of a journey, and I think, you know, I talk about how, so sometimes we take turns that take us off what we originally thought would be a linear path, and those turns take us to really interesting places, and we don't necessarily learn what we expected to, but chances are we're going to learn some valuable lesson along the way. And then doesn't it become a more scenic, twisty, turny kind of route for us? And is that so bad?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I'm absolutely loving our conversation, but I need to take a quick break from everything that we're talking about. And then afterwards, I want to get into some of the information that you had shared with in the chapter of the book that you participated in writing in. So, but before we get to that, I just want to remind our listeners that they could call in and speak to us at 646-716-9397 and talk to us about any experiences of change, maybe something that they're struggling with and want to see if there's some advice that Lori could help you with, or if there's a story that you want to share. You could also, again, if you're a Blog Talk Radio member, reach us in our chat room. So just a couple of things that are coming up on the Life Coach Radio Network. Tomorrow, November 15th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, is Train Your Brain and Up Your Game with Coach Mandy. And she's going to be talking about how stress leads to overeating for athletes, college students, and you. So please give a listen to Mandy Rosniak's of Inner Winning Coaching on her show, Train Your Brain and Up Your Game. This Sunday, November 17th at 9 p.m. is Mark My Words with Mark Shaw. He's going to be interviewing Billy Brett. He is the closest thing we have to a real superhero. He is a decorated Fairfax County motorcycle cop. He was actually awarded the Medal of Valor in 2003, and he is the author of Billy's Never-Ending Battle, Creating a Wonderful Life with Imagination and Purpose. So that's going to be on Sunday, November 17th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And lastly, on Tuesday, November, what's Tuesday's date? I can't even remember. The 19th, that's right.
Yes.
Tuesday the 19th at 8 p.m. is Danielle Mercurio of New City U Coaching, that she's going to be having an exciting broadcast on how astrology influences your well-being. Sounds very interesting. Are you a morning person or a night owl? What physical activities maximize your burning potential, and who makes the great accountability partner for you? And since next episode of Gaining Perspective is technically scheduled for Thanksgiving here in the USA, our next new live episode of Gaining Perspective will be on December 12th. On Thanksgiving, we will be doing a repeat of our episode on how being finds more opportunities than doing. It was my interview with Tommy Hilken of Tommy's Toolbox, so I'm looking forward to replaying that one because there's such great information, and it also helps as a good follow-up to this conversation that we're having today, because when you recognize how you just want to be in life versus being defined by what you do, it actually might help make change a little bit different and better and easier for you. So, again, feel free to give us a call at 646-716-9397. So I want to get into the book. So
Okay. Let's
talk about it a little bit here. How did you first get involved with it?
Sort of by accident. The book is called Catch Your Star, and it's a compilation of 20 authors who are spiritual and personal development experts. And, you know, one of the things that I had wanted to do for a really long time was write a book. So I haven't written a book here. I've written a chapter. But I wanted to find a way to kind of get going in that direction. So I literally did a search online, and I had done this a few years ago, and I had discovered a publisher who does compilation books, and at the time just dismissed it, right? Sort of in that old mindset, it's too hard, I'm not sure, I don't know, never mind, right? And then I did the search again more recently, and the same publisher came up, and I said to myself, well, here she is again, and I see some of the other projects she's worked on, and I'm going to work with her. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to second-guess myself. This is something that I've wanted to do, and clearly I'm revisiting it in the same way. You know, this opportunity is showing up for me again. I'm going to take advantage of it. So it was kind of a nice process in that a lot of the difficulty was taken out. The publisher does most of the work. She collects the authors, and you just contribute your piece, and they even have editors who help work with you on that. So it was just sort of this nice, easy way for me to, you know, dip my toe in the water of writing. But it was also very important for me to write about this topic because it was something that I was embracing myself at that time.
That's great. That's one of my procrastinating changes about learning how to write and participate in a book. So thank you for sharing that. It was very helpful to hear some of that. You know, even you just trying to dip your toe in the signs showing you that, hey, there's an easy way to do this, easier way than
right.
you think. So I want to touch upon some of the topics that you have in there. You cover 7 different steps to change and how to welcome it. And since we really don't have time to cover all of them, I want to highlight a few of them that I think is great for our listeners to hear about. And as we go through them, I hope we actually at least hit all of these that we're talking about because there's so much that we could go off on a tangent in some of these. And I find that they're so great. The first to begin with is to see the sign. So talk to me about how people could recognize that it might be time for a change in their lives.
Okay. Well, and that's just the thing. Change, not everybody needs to be going after change all the time, you know, in their life. But some of the signs might be if you're experiencing a lack of energy, you are feeling bored, maybe you're feeling not quite so motivated, you might be less meaningfully engaged with the other people in your life. You might find yourself starting to isolate a little. You know, you might be tired of saying, when someone says, hey, what's new? You might be tired of saying nothing. You might feel frustrated a lot of the time, might have a short fuse and be taking it out on those you love the most. You might feel aimless and stuck, and here's a big one, and this was the one for me. This feeling of going through the motions, that's when I realized, you know, when I talked to you before about humming along, I thought, well, yeah, everything's fine, but nothing's fabulous, and it would be really cool if something was. So how do I make that happen in my life? And I began to realize that I was almost feeling as though I was a spectator in my life, and I had this, you know, suddenly had this awareness that, wait a minute, this is my story, and I'm the author of it. I'm the only one who can write this story, and the only way things are going to change are if I take an active role in making the change happen and changing the direction of the plot, let's say.
I want to go a little further in this because it just makes me think of some people that are like, you know, nothing changes. I try to make a difference and, you know, the same old stuff happens to me. It's out of my control. It doesn't make a difference. And they get angry. And you're right. You know, they see the things of where you take your frustrations out on the ones that you love. And how do you work with someone that is in that angry stage of their own personal life and feeling completely defeated that they have no control over the change?
Well, you know, there are those people who talk that way, right? Nothing goes my way, everything goes wrong. And here's, you know, our thinking has such a huge impact on the way, not only the way we approach the world, but on the way we receive it too. So if you're thinking from a place of scarcity or victimization, right? Woe is me, nothing goes my way, nothing good ever happens for me. If you're stuck in that way of thinking, you're going to be searching for more evidence to support that way of thinking. So you go about your day and you think, oh, look at how cloudy it is. And then you say, oh, my God, I can't believe how long the line is at the gas station. Now I'm going to be late for my next appointment. I can't even believe it. And, oh, my gosh, like I couldn't even believe they didn't have, you know, the kind of tea I was looking for at the supermarket. Of course they wouldn't have that. However, if you think from a place of abundance and you put a more positive spin on things, you think, oh, hey, look at how the sun is shining from behind the clouds. That's so cool. Oh, wait, you know, the line is kind of long at the gas station, but now that'll give me an opportunity to check my email, and maybe I can get a phone call in to so-and-so. And, all right, they don't have my tea at the supermarket, but, well, that'll give me an opportunity to try this kind. I never tried this kind before. Do you see what I mean? If you approach things from a different perspective, you look for opportunities to find possibility, to find an opening, to find more positivity to support that. And those are the people that do find the power within themselves to create change. It's the people who are looking for evidence to support their negative way of thinking that are never going to see the openings that might be right there in front of them.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. And I want to take it down a notch, and you know, maybe you want to share some of your own story in this next question. When you were talking about just going through the motions and being a spectator, how did you go through the process of making a decision on what it was you wanted to change? Because there are so many people that are just in that stage of their life, but they have no idea where to even start.
Right. I kind of broke it down. This is, you know, for some people it's a really specific thing. But for me, I thought about the things that I wanted in my life at that time. So I looked at my career, you know, I looked at what was going on with me professionally, and I thought about, you know, what about my business worked at that time, and how, instead of really focusing on what I didn't like, I thought about how I could bring more of what I did like to me. And that's part of why I had the counseling practice at that time, but that's when I decided to establish the coaching business. So that was a means for me of working with more individuals that I really felt I could impact positively and to kind of do it in a more powerful way. So for me, I looked at that professional piece, but I also looked at my personal life. And some of the things might sound silly to you, but maybe they won't. I don't know. But one of the things I realized was I loved reading, and I wasn't reading at all. I mean, it had been months and months since I read a book. So, you know, for a long time I had been thinking about joining a book club, and then I just did it. And what a big impact it had. You know, such a simple decision, and all it is a two-hour meeting once a month. But it forces me to read a book a month, and sometimes I absolutely love the books, and sometimes I don't. But what I really love is discussing them with other people. And so that enables me to get together with people and kind of break down books and really tear them apart. And that's kind of a really fun thing for me to do. Plus, there was this social aspect. And another one of the things on my list that I wanted to bump up was socialization. I felt like I was kind of working all the time or taking care of the kids, and I wanted to find a little bit more time for me. And so the book club accomplished two things for me. And then the other big thing that I did was, like many people, I had wanted to get fit for a really long time, and I just, you know, kept trying to do the same thing, and it wasn't working. And there was finally this moment where I had the realization that what I was trying to do wasn't working. I was procrastinating. You know, I had that Sunday night syndrome where I would say, tomorrow's Monday, and tomorrow's I'm going to start, and tomorrow would come and go, and, of course, nothing had changed. But there was also this realization within myself that I was going to need help in the process of getting fit. And so I decided to hire a personal trainer, which was kind of a big deal for me because there was this sort of admitting that I needed help with this, and it needed to be one-on-one help, and it required me to invest in myself big time, right? Because personal trainers don't come cheap. And that was kind of a big step for me because I didn't always invest in myself in that way or think that I needed to be invested in. So one of the things I had to do was change my thinking around that and think about the long-term impact, the return on that investment. And that's when I realized, you know, I thought, well, I could keep doing what I'm doing, but there's no impact here, nothing's happening. Or I could make this investment and see if my anticipated return on investment is what it, I expect it to be, and in fact it was. So those, I, you know, looked at the personal piece, I looked at the professional piece, I looked at the health piece. You know, those were the things that were coming up for me. So I would encourage someone to kind of break it down into the parts of their lives that are important to them and see what rises to the surface. They may just choose to focus on one thing at a time, and that's fine. For me, I was at a time where I wanted to kind of create a few tiny shifts and see what the impact was, and it was big.
And do you consider this kind of as the way you set the stage as the next area that I want to talk about in preparing for change? Or do you think that there is even more intricate detail on how to prepare for it? Because here you are, you're making some decisions, and so, okay, this is what I want to change. But there is a little bit more that comes into it. And what is the impact it's going to be into your life, I think, falls a little bit into it. So can you expand upon how can you prepare for change?
Yeah, well, one of the things we touched on before was, you know, imagining how that change is going to manifest itself and then anticipating some of the obstacles that might crop up in connection to it. And when you do that, you can help pave the way for your success. So, for example, if you anticipate that your spouse might not be as supportive as you might like, you might go the extra mile in terms of communicating why this endeavor is so important to you, or you might seek support elsewhere just to ensure that you have it while you're on this journey. Another thing that you can do, now here's the big thing. Here's often what we need when we're making friends with change. We need primary resources. We need time, energy, and money. So we talked about time before and needing time to create those new grooves, right? You might need time to practice some new skill. You might need to actually carve out time in your schedule to devote some time to this new thing that you're trying to create or enact in your life. Like, so for example, part of the reason why I work out with a personal trainer is because if I said to myself, yeah, I'm going to work out Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings, and relied on myself to do it, I like having that accountability. But if you're the kind of person who is saying to yourself, I'm going to work out Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning on your own, I encourage people to write that down on their calendar as though it's an appointment with themselves so that other things don't encroach upon it, don't get in the way of that. You know, how often do you kind of dismiss things that are on your own personal agenda because something else that's, in quotes, you know, more important, when in fact that original objective was pretty darn important in the first place. So
too often.
Yeah. So
very often.
You know, when people say I don't have the time, what they're really saying is I haven't made it a priority. So if something's really important to us, we will make the time. And think about how often you make the time for maybe a friend who's sick or, you know, a loved one who needs something from you, right? You'll do it. But if it's something for you, you more easily override it. So finding the time is important. Energy is important, and we talked about that before. And the other big resource that we often need is money, whether it's to take a class or to hire a trainer or to hire a babysitter so we can go out and work a little bit more than maybe we had been working before. So often money is a resource that we need to enact change, and it's often a reason why people will say they can't create a change in their lives. And what we'll do is then challenge that no money notion, because very often it's just sort of this quick knee-jerk reaction that we have to a request that we're making of ourselves. And often we can reallocate the funds that we have to set aside that chunk of change for whatever is important to us. You know, maybe we don't need to make the Starbucks run every day if that's something that we normally do. Maybe we don't need to go out to dinner quite so often just so that we can save some money to do this new thing that we're trying to create. And oftentimes people will discover, too, that they have money in hidden places. You know, maybe there are clothes in their closet that they haven't worn in years, and maybe they can take it to a consignment shop, or maybe there are things that are in their attic or in their basement that they can throw on eBay and get, you know, some money in that way to pay for something that they wouldn't normally have paid for. So that's also part of setting the stage. So maybe finding the support that you need, finding those resources, maybe being willing to ask for help.
Another challenge for people.
Or a lot of people. Or also finding a role model or a mentor, right? We don't, chances are someone's gone down this path before, or at least a similar path, and someone who has might have great recommendations for us, or they might say, hey, these are the obstacles that I encountered, and these are the strategies that I employed in trying to get past them. And often what happens is, you know, people are like, oh, I don't want to ask them. I don't want to bother them. Oftentimes those people are honored to hear our questions and to know that we want to tap into their expertise. So more often than not, people will be very willing to spend a few minutes talking to us to tell us what their experience was like and what we might be able to learn from that.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, people that have gone through it love to share their experience to help others. It's just some people, I want to make my own mistakes. Why? Why don't you want to learn from what other people have gone through and not have to worry about some of that stuff? I always find that kind of mind-boggling that that happens. And, you know, as you were talking before about scheduling time, there have been so many times I'm so guilty of it that I've scheduled time, but I get so caught up in something else. I'm like, oh, in a few minutes, I'll get to it in a few minutes. And an hour and a half goes by later, and you're like, ah. Well,
yeah.
Now it's time to start making dinner for everybody. And so
right.
It's very interesting that you go through these experiences. You have to be willing to put yourself first. What I've been also sharing with people is if you schedule the time, start and stop. Even if you are on that roll, stop right where you are and pick it up at the next scheduled time that you're going to do it. Because if you get so wrapped up in something, then you're forgetting about all the other things that you schedule for yourself. And
right.
I need to be better at practicing what I coach at, what I tell people about
right.
doing that.
Well, it's easier
but like
to
I said,
stop. Go ahead. Well, I was going to say it's easier to stop when you know that next time block is there on your calendar waiting for you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And also, you know, the thing with procrastination that I often see occurs is you're so overwhelmed because when it comes to change, you want to tackle everything all at once, and you procrastinate because it just seems you're so overwhelmed by so much that needs to be accomplished. And you were touching upon this. Don't try to do everything all at once. Just pick a couple of things out of it, the simple little changes like you said you did for yourself. The greatest impact comes from the simple little changes that you can make on a regular basis. So I think that that is really, really helpful. And the other thing is the map, creating a map. So you talk about how people can reach far and, you know, they can really try to figure out how it is. And when we talk about maps, sometimes I always think about SMART goals. You know, everybody always
yep.
hears about SMART goals and what they are. Does this relate to what you mean by the map, and you know, is it something different?
No, it is very much about SMART goals, but I think the only difference might be what the R represents. So in the SMART goals that I'll often talk to clients about, I say that their steps need to be small, manageable, achievable, risky, and time-limited. And when I say risky, yeah, what I mean is doing something you wouldn't normally do. So it's it may be outside of your comfort area. And often when people hear that, oh, great, outside of my comfort zone, they kind of close down. And so we've reframed it and we've said, all right, let's come up with a more positive way to talk about that. And we say it's in your, you know, think of something that you can do that's risky or in your possibility zone or your adventure zone. So it gives them a chance to try something that they've never done before. It might be something that does make them a little bit uncomfortable, but they're going to learn so much more by doing it. And there is going to be, there's often this feeling of exhilaration afterwards, like, I just tried that. I never thought I would. So that's when what I mean when I talk about SMART goals with my clients, that element of risk, you know, stepping outside of where they normally operate so that they can, you know, explore and uncover where that magic happens for them.
And how often when people are in the exploratory stages, they start feeling like they're reaching too far and they retreat back? Like, do you see this happen over and over again until they finally are in a comfortable place and say it's okay? Because I know that sometimes this doesn't happen right from the start and it works perfectly.
Well, another thing in connection with the map is that we'll talk about not necessarily needing to map things out from A to Z, and that was sort of one of my issues a while back. I've gotten better with this as well, that it might just be okay to know steps A and B, because once you complete B, C is going to reveal itself to you. It's not going to be a dead end. You're going to figure out, okay, now I know what the next two steps are. And there's often a sense of relief with that and knowing, and a client knowing, man, okay, I don't have to have all the answers at this point, and I don't necessarily need to anticipate everything that's going to come along. What I really need to do, and this might be tough for a lot of people, but what I need to do is trust in myself and trust in my capacity to deal with the situation that shows up in front of me. But if you're doing, you know, taking small, manageable, achievable, time-limited steps, it shouldn't get to the point where it is so overwhelming. And that's why the SMART steps are there to hopefully reduce that sense of overwhelm.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. And as anticipated, we have run out of time and cannot finish up with the other topics out of the book. But I highly suggest that people go and get this book. And, Lori, please do share with everybody how they can get in touch with you. Some of your last final thoughts that you have, since we weren't able to cover everything that we wanted to. And I understand that you have a workshop coming up, so if people are interested in attending, how they could find that out, please.
I do. Okay. So my website is www.ideas2action-coaching.com. And there's all kinds of information and goodies on my website, including the ability to get the free ebook, 7 Spectacular Steps to Getting Unstuck. I do have a program coming up this Saturday, November 16th. There are still some spots left. And that program is called Stepping Into You. And the gist of it is dusting off a goal that might have been on the back burner for way too long and uncovering what within you might need to nurture in order to pursue that goal effectively. So people can, that's a full morning program from 9:30 to 12 in Red Bank. And if people are interested in finding out more or in registering, they can go to www.steppingin2you.com. And just some closing thoughts. I mean, here's the thing. The important thing is to pay attention to the signs that you might need to change things. If you're perfectly happy doing what you're doing, then keep on trucking, because it's working for you. But if you recognize that change can be your safety net when things are not satisfying for you or fulfilling for you, then that can be incredibly empowering in terms of always having the capacity to create the life that you want to be living.
Great.
Andrea,
thank you so much. I really appreciate
having
you on today. There was so much information, and I've taken so much notes for myself there's a lot that I could learn from today's call. So thank you. As for all of our listeners. I appreciate your understanding. And for you too, Lori, appreciating the understanding of our technical difficulties that we had and persevering through it. So life presented us with our own challenge, and we changed
That's right.
it to a half hour later. So again, for anybody listening, we hope that you enjoyed this past hour and you found it engaging, enlightening, and are now focused on a path to getting to where you want to be. Again, if you're interested in reaching out to Lori, you could find her at ideas2action-coaching.com. And I really enjoyed having you on here. There's so much, you're such a wealth of knowledge on here. And if anybody out there in our listening world has some ideas or suggestions they'd like to hear here on Gaining Perspective, please reach out to us at Life Coach Radio Network. You could find us at Life Coach Radio Networks, that's with an S at the end, .com. If you're interested in reaching out to me, you could find me at Andrea at New Perspectives Communication. And you can find me on Facebook. You could also find me on Twitter, and my handle is at How You Say It. You could also follow Life Coach Radio Network on Twitter at Coach Host Radio. And I thank you all and wish you all a wonderful holiday season. Until next time, have a great day.